Okay, so we're continuing here in Kuf Tzadi Ches. Kuf Tzadi Ches is still going to take us a while because there's a lot of stuff to talk about in Kuf Tzadi Ches. So today I want to talk about two things. First of all, we'll talk about the line between Beis Hastarim and Balua, because that's very relevant. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza in Beis Hastarim, but you're allowed to have a chatzitza in an area that's Balua, that's totally inside of the body. But where exactly do we draw the line? Nafkamina might be for things like a NuvaRing or an earplug or something like that. And I also want to talk a little bit about bandages, you know, and if there are any kulas that we could have for certain types of bandages that people may not be able to remove. So let's start with the dividing line between Balua and Beis Hastarim. This thing, thankfully, is a sugya. The Gemara has a sugya in Daf Mem Beis about what area is Balua and what area is Beis Hastarim. The Gemara talks about Ibailu also makam shel isha Balua havi or Beis Hastarim havi. Is also makam of an isha considered to be Balua Beis Hastarim. So the Gemara says the my nafkamina, and it gives a very unusual nafkamina. If her friend goes with a kazayis nevela and sticks it inside of oso makom of that woman, so the woman's not going to become tameh because tum balua has no impact. You can have tuma on the inner parts of one's body; it's not going to make the person tameh. But v'yam beis hastarim, we need magalum tameh masamia matamia. By beis hastarim, maga beis hastarim is not matameh, but masa beis hastarim is matameh. Right? That's the shaila with the kohanim getting dental implants and things like that. That they use bone sometimes to actual human bone. To rebuild teeth that are broken or whatever. So the question is, if it's a maga beis hastarim, so then it wouldn't be a problem. But it's if a masa beis hastarim, so etzem kisaoras metame be. How's it go? Etzem kisaoras metame be maga velo be masa. Right, as some sort of a very tiny bone. So you have to figure out whether it's a base of storm to begin with, and then what the denim would be. So it happens to be by the bone with the dental stuff. You have a different hatter. You have the fact that they don't actually just like take a bone off a dead guy and stick it in your mouth. It's like highly processed. Hello. It's like highly processed and broken down. Oh God. yeah. I'm already regretting this many times over. Okay, thank you. So the Gemara raises this question: is the also makom of Neisha, is it Balua or is it Beis Hastarim? And that's the unusual nafkamina. So Abaye Amar Balua Havi, Rav Amar Beis Hastarim Havi. So the Gemara discusses how does each one know their opinions. First of all, the Gemara talks about also makom Felisha Beis Hastarim Balua and says nafkamina, somebody sticks a kzayis nevela there. So if it's Balua, there's not even tumas masa, but if it's a Beis Hastarim, then there wouldn't be tumas maga. There's tumas masa. Rava's raya is that Rava is the one that said that it's a Beis Hastarim, is that you need a pasuk to teach that a woman becomes tameh from the shechva zera inside of her, because normal rules would dictate that she's tahora because it's a Beis Hastarim. Meaning Rava's raya is, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a woman becomes tameh from shechva zera but also makom? It must be because if you were to just follow the normal rules, shechva zera b'osa makom would not be metame the woman. That's Rava's right. So since we're always passing like Rava, it would seem that also makom shalisha is a beis hastarim, unless the dinei tuma will be different from dinei chatzitza, right? Meaning, which we'll have to talk about. Is there some reason to distinguish between them? But the pashtos is they should be the same. Meaning, if the very din of chatzitza beis hastarim may have been derived from its ability to be mekabel tuma, so then it stands to reason that whatever you're going to say is the geder of a beis hastarim for tuma is going to be the same thing as the geder for beis hastarim for chatzitza. So there is a discussion in the Achronim, just to mention, just because, like, how do you not mention this when you see such a Gemara? There's a discussion in Achronim why the Gemara set up a case where somebody else stuck nevela into osomakom of an isha. why not just say that she stuck Nevela into Osa Makom, meaning it's already a weird case, right? Meaning, so why make it stranger by talking about somebody else sticking a piece of Nevela into Osa Makom of Anisha? So some Sofer says that a Dafka wanted to give a case where someone else did it, because if she did it herself, she's of course Tamei, because how would she do it herself? By touching the Nevela. So then she'd be Tamei B'maga from touching the Nevela. We want to know whether it's based on Starim or Balu, whether it's Tamei B'masa, and we want to take Maga out of the equation. So the best way to do that is by saying that she didn't do anything, she didn't touch the Nevela, but only her Beis HaStarim touched the Nevela. It could have said that she was Tovelis afterwards from her Tumas Maga, and the Kazayis Nevela remained there, right? I mean, it still could have made it that she was touching the Nevela. I mean, that she stuck the Nevela in herself, and then, so she is Tamei Tumas Maga, but then she went to the mikveh, right? So she went to the mikveh afterwards, that's Matar her from Tumas Maga, but she's still touching the Nevela in the Beis HaStarim. But since Rava's Raya is from Shefazera, we try to pick a parallel case where the Tumah was inserted by somebody else. I mean, that's probably why it chose that case, just to give the most the easiest parallel to what Rava's Raya is from. Sheikh Chazara is put there by somebody else. It's not put there by herself. That's how the Chassam Sofer writes. L'chora, though, the Chassam Sofer's cheshbin doesn't work, right? I mean, what's his cheshbin? His cheshbin is that even if she did it herself, she could have been mitar herself from Tumas Maga by going to the mikveh, and still had the issue of masa beis hastarim, right, by having it inside of her body. No, why is that a problem? Meaning, it would be a chatzitza. It would be a chatzitza. You could be told from Tumas, from one Tumas, but it would be at the very least, it would be a chatzitza, because a beis hastarim, you're not allowed to have a chatzitza. So that lechora is problematic anyway. Sidrei Taro here in the Shira Taro in Simchat Chav Gimel raises a question, going back to halacha a little bit, as opposed to just discussing that strangeness of the case of the Gemara, why we don't say nafkamina is about chatzitza, which would only be a problem in Beis HaStarim. Meaning the Gemara wants to ask machlokas, Abai Rav, is it Balu or is it Beis HaStarim? The Gemara says, my nafkamina. The Gemara says, oh, I have a very practical nafkamina. Tachla chavirta nevela be oso makom. So I need to know, is she tame or not? How about she went to the mikveh with a nuva ring, right? Meaning, like, isn't that like, the ring that the post can talk about to protect from a prolapse or something like that? You know, just say that there was something in Osa Makom and she went to the mikveh and it's a chatzitza issue. So that's the kasha of the Sidrei Taro. So he points out, he quotes the Tshuva Zichron Yosef that we've mentioned already, who answers that any chatzitza bebeis hastarim is only an issue midrabanan, because it's a meal. It's always, by definition, going to be a meal. And we're looking for a nafkamina on a daraisa level. So the nafkamina on a daraisa level is tachvala chaverta kazayis nevela bosa makom. But chatzitza is only going to be midrabanan. No, so what's the answer to that? Is that true, that it's only a drabanan issue? What's the Sidrei Taro going to say? No, come on, we had this a few times already. That it could be a robe. How could it be a robe? 49.999% of her body is covered with a chatzitza, and this is going to make it 50.1%. Right? This is going to put it over the halfway point, and is going to turn it into a robe. So that's why the Sidrei Taro says, when you talk about whether something is a chatzitza, it is an afkamina midaraisa. It happens, it could be that in most cases, or in almost every case, it's going to play out midarabanan, but whether something is chotzeit or not chotzeit is an afkamina midaraisa. There's a chitim to make it a daraisa, so it's an afkamina midaraisa. So Sidrei Taro says, I don't like the Zichron Yosef's answer to this question, so I'm stuck with the question. Why didn't the Gemara just give the simple nafkamina? Is a Beis HaStarim Balua, or is a Osa Makom Balua or Beis HaStarim? Why not just say the simple nafkamina about Chatzitza? So Sidrei Taro says, according to the Shitas HaRitvan, Kiddushin Daf Chafei, a chatzitza in the Beis HaStarim is only midrabanan, right? Remember, we had that as well, right? That it could be, not because it's a miut, but because any chatzitza in Beis HaStarim is only a din midrabanan. The idea that a chatzitza in Beis HaStarim is problematic, according to the Ritva, is only a din midrabanan. So if you accept the Shita Saritva, then that's okay. Problem is, Tosfos holds that Chatzitza Beis Hastarim is Daraisa. So according to Tosfos, you have the Kasha. Tosfos should be bothered that if Chatzitza Beis Hastarim is Daraisa, how come the Gemara doesn't give that Nafkamina? So the Rambam, in the second paragraph of Hilchos Mikvaos, Halacha Gimel, says that it's only Daraisa for a married woman since she's Makbid. But a single woman would never be Makbid because it doesn't really matter to her what's going on. But also Makom, because she doesn't need, right, she doesn't need to have Tashmish, so it's not going to bother her. In, as long as it's not uncomfortable, it's not going to bother her. Okay, maybe. He further answers, Sidre Tarav, the Shira Tarav here further says that according to the Rash, the reason Beis Hastarim is Chotzeitz and not Balua is based on Tumah Beis Hastarim and the fact that there's no Tumah Bebalua, meaning the idea of Chatzitza being dependent on Beis Hastarim or Balua is derived from the fact that Tuma only applies with Beis Hastarim, not with Balua. So when the Gemara wants to give an Afkamina, instead of going to the extension of the original din, go right at the original din, meaning the real issue is, where is there a Tuma? And then, once you know where there's Tuma, you'll know where there's a Chatzitza. But it's all derived from the idea of Tuma. Okay, so that's a little bit about why the Gemara doesn't give this as a Nafkamina. But bottom line is, it is a Nafkamina. Meaning, at the end of the day, whichever answer you want to go with, whether it's only Drabanan, or whether it's only Drabanan because it's not a rove, or it's only Drabanan because the base of arm is only Drabanan, or it's only an application of the din of Tuma. But bottom line is, it is a real Nafkamina. So we need to know what the halacha is then, right? We need to know where exactly does it switch from being a Beis Hastarim to being Balua. So there are several shitos in Rishonim and Achronim. The Tos HaRosh in Nida Samach Vavim Beis says that Beis Hastarim needs to be Ra'u L'Bias Mayim because water sometimes enters that area. That's what Tos HaRosh says. That when we say that Beis Hastarim needs to be Ra'u L'Bias Mayim, the reason it needs to be Ra'u L'Bias Mayim is because sometimes Mayim actually goes there. So Beis Hastarim would have to be defined as a place that it's possible for water to hit that area. Any place that's beyond where water would ever go is not going to be a Beis Hastarim, according to the Tos HaRosh. Right? He seems to be assuming any place water couldn't reach would be considered Balua. It's not going to be considered a Beis Hastarim. That is the Shita of the Nesivos as well. And then we wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that you don't need Bias Mayim if it were impossible anyway, right? Meaning, that's the assumption of Tos HaRosh, right? The assumption of Tos HaRosh is, I have a chiddush in the pasuk, you don't need Bias Mayim, right? I don't need a chiddush in the pasuk, I don't need Bias Mayim in my small intestines, because it's impossible to get Bias Mayim into my small intestines, right? Meaning, you only need a chiddush to tell me that Beis HaStarim doesn't need Bias Mayim in a place where you would think, where Bias Mayim is at least physically possible to happen. So the definition of Balua, or one thing you could be certain is Balua, is some part of the body that's so deep in that there's no access, there's no possibility of Bias Mayim. Rabbi Kivega rejects the Nesivos, but only on account of a Kasha from the Ramah, which we'll see soon, that Rav Moshe answers the Kasha Rabbi Kivega has on the Nesivos. So, okay, but that's the sheet of the Nesivos, the sheet of Tos HaRosh. So again, how do I define Balua for his base start? Well, one thing's for sure. If water couldn't possibly get there under natural, normal circumstances without, like, surgery or something, if water couldn't get there, then it's for sure going to be Balua. It's not going to be base start. And it's very, very mistah there. That I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that you need royal Bias Mayim in a place that you can't have Bias Mayim. I'm sorry, I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that you don't need Bias Mayim in a place that you can't have Bias Mayim. Second sheet of the Rash, but the Rash in Kiddushin of Chafei says that any place that's sometimes visible, that's sometimes seen, is a Beis HaStarim, implying that anything never seen is a Makom Balua. Chachmas Adam seems to assume this way. In Binas Adam, Shar Beis HaNashim Osir Aleph, he assumes that way. He says even 1 inch inside the body is a Balua. Meaning, if we're trying to measure, and we're trying to figure out whether also Makam Shalisha is Balua or Beis HaStarim, he says 1 inch up into the vaginal canal is Balua, because that's never visible to to the outside. Even, you know, one could be doing a split and it still wouldn't be visible. There's no way to contort one's body where that would ever be visible to the outside. And anything that's not visible to the outside environment is going to be balua. So it's based on visibility rather than water access. And those are different, those would draw the line in different places. Then the Yehuda, who rejected the Nesivis, in Madura Kama Yordaya Sim Samachal, is a third Shita. He says that the entire Bayis Hachitzon is a Makom Hesastarim, but further in is Balua. So what does that mean? So Rav Nissim Krelitz in Chutshani says that any part of the Osa Makom that's exposed to outside touch is still a Beis Hastarim. So what do we have so far? We had a possibility that anything that water could get into, could seep into, anything that's visible, and then the possibility that it's anything that could be touched. So essentially that would mean in Osa Makom Avinisha, it's Ad Makom Shashamish Tash. It's wherever the Aver gets to during Tashmish, because that is all being touched by another person. And that's why the ring that women would use to treat a prolapse was considered to be a sastarin. It was more than than an inch inside, so probably water didn't get there. Probably was not visible, but it was a place that could be touched. Harbaya, they put a ring in there, so something is anything that's still. Meaning, if you stick your finger, let's take your ear for example. If you stick your finger all the way as far as you can in your ear, let's say you take your pinky or whatever, you stick it as far as you can in your ear, so that's as far as Beis Hastar will go. There are parts that you can't reach, right? Meaning further into the canal of your ear is a part that you can't reach. Now, if it's based on visibility, I don't know, when the doctor takes that thing with the light, right, and he looks in, he probably sees further than your finger could reach. So over there, that which you can see is probably a... goes in the other direction, right? That which you could see is probably way further than that which you can, can be touched. I don't know. Rabbi Kiveger in a Tshuva in Psakim Yardes in the Summit says that the vaginal canal is a Beis Hastarim, and he proves from a Ramah in Sif Mem Gimel that it's a Beis Hastarim, because the Ramah writes over here in Sif Mem Gimel at the end of this long simon. Right, what does Rama say? Yesh omrim she'isha tzricha lahatil mayim kodem tvi lasa im hi tzricha lekach. That if a woman has to urinate before, I mean, she feels the urge to urinate, she should do so before the tvila. Gam tzricha livdok atzma v'gdol v'ktam shlok tzricha latzor atzma v'lo yeru yilvias mayim gam tzricha lasir tzos achotah. So he says that she should urinate before going to the mikveh. So says Rabbi Kiveger, why does she have to urinate before the tefillah? Because the tightening of the muscles is a chatzitza, right? If she's trying to hold back urinating by tightening the muscles in that area, that itself would be a chatzitza. So Rabbi Kiveger assumes that includes the entire vaginal canal. L'chora, it's got nothing to do with the vaginal canal, right? I mean, l'chora, that's a biology error that is being made. I don't know if, are you allowed to say that about Rabbi Kiveger? Is that an error in biology? Every time it might not be chorus, I don't know. For that, and for other things, yeah, but for that, yeah. Right, right. You probably wouldn't say it about Rabbi Kiveger. I don't know. It's a strange writer, no? No? Unless maybe he's assuming that when she's tightening the muscles to hold herself in from urinating, she's also tightening the vaginal muscles, that there's no way to separate out those muscles. I don't know, I'm not a woman, so nor am I an OBGYN. I imagine they would know. Anyone have any relatives? OBGYN? Perhaps? No? Okay. I'll have to email my friends. All right, so we'll try to get to it. Okay.
What would the Tosfos Rush say about
Osa Makom? So, meaning, how far does water get? In a bath. Yeah, I think it means in a bath. However far water would get. Probably not there, I would imagine. I don't know. Rav Moshe doesn't like Rav Kiveger. Rav Moshe says, but not for the same reason we said. Rav Moshe said, for the opposite reason almost. Rav Moshe says, I understand,
if a woman is tightening her muscles because she feels that she has to, you ever, I don't know, when people have to go to the bathroom really badly, right? Like really badly, like the car ride and like next rest stop is 30 miles, you know, like, you know, when it was, so last night I was driving back from Shasatan and I needed gas in my car and it was like next gas station, like this was up in the Poconos, it was like whatever, thank God I made it, but when a person has to go to the bathroom really, really badly, right? So what particularly women, what will they do? Like cross their legs, you know, they'll cross their legs as much as they can. So that's creating chatitza. Rav Moshe says that's the problem. The reason we don't want her to have to urinate when she goes to the mikvah is not because internally the vaginal muscles are going to be constricted and it's going to be in the vaginal canal. He says her thighs are going to be, she's going to stick her thighs together. She doesn't want to pee in the mikvah, right? It's not a public swimming pool. She doesn't want to urinate in the mikvah. So she's gonna okay, sorry. but you know, the you ever see those funny signs, right? Like pools. Welcome to Ra'ul. That's my favorite one. Notice there's no P in it, keep it that way. Okay. So when her thighs are held together, that's going to be the chatzitza, says Rav Moshe. So in short, it's very difficult to use Rabbi Kivager as a source to consider the vaginal canal based on starim that needs royal Lubias Mayim, because he himself is only compelled to say that due to his question from the Ramah. And Rav Moshe pointed out, it's not a kasha, right? Rav Moshe pointed out Rabbi Kivager's whole question from the Ramah is not really a kasha. And Rav Moshe managed to answer the question pretty easily. So being that the Nesivas, the Chachmas Adam, and Rav Moshe all consider the area inside her body to be a Makom Balua and not a Beis HaStarim, one can certainly rely on that L'Chachila for a ring, which may be Adin isn't even a Chatzitza, because she's not Makbid about it. Meaning, if you have a ring, a Nuvami, let's say, that's a Miyachay the Makbid, she's not really Makbid about it being there, and she leaves it there forever, and she's just going to replace it with another one. Right, and it's very likely not a chatzitza because it's just a blocker and it's moist and it's this, right? And the place that it is according to almost all the deos, is going to be a makom balua and not a makom beis hastarim. L'chora, there's what to be to make on. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva I mentioned to you once about a woman who accidentally left a tampon in throughout Shivanakiyim and Tevila. So he writes in that tshuva that we normally assume that only past Makom Shashamash Dash is considered to be Balua, that up until that point is considered to be a Beis HaStarim. So that would, you know, lead you in the other direction to be more machmir in terms of the Nuvarin, because the Nuvarin moves around a little bit. Right? So that's why the poskim all say, L'chachila, take it out, because why not, right? Except for Rav Shatter and Rav Rabinovich, who thought even L'chachila you don't have to take it out. But yeah, if it's really no big deal, take it out. She's not going to lose it, so just take it out. And b'di'avad, if she went to the mikveh with the nuvaring in, which is not unusual for a woman to forget to remove something like that, so it's no big deal. It would still be a kashrut tefillah. Every once in a while, I get calls like that every once in a while. A woman got back from the mikveh, she realized that she left the nuvaring in. Oh no, what do I do now? So it's fine. And it helps also, by the way, but to know when there are posts that say that something is even okay l'chachila, even if you wouldn't suggest it l'chachila. Because you can say, if the woman already went, so she doesn't like to hear that b'di'avad her tefillah was good. She wants to know that she did a good tefillah. So if you can get away with saying, it's a perfectly good tefillah, so then she'll be much more comfortable about it afterwards. Okay, let's get to bandages. There is a Mishnah in the ninth parak of Mikvaos. Elu chotzin ba'adam, chutei tzemer v'chutei pishtan v'aretzuos shebrashei abanos, Rav Yehuda omer shal tzemer v'shal seir einu chotzin, mei shamayim ba'in behen. So basically there are different types of strings that women tie into their hair that constitute a chatzitza. And the next Mishnah continues the list of chatzitzos, and it says, kalkulei alev ha'zakar v'beis ha'star b'isha, lifluf shechutz le'ayin, v'gelet shechutz le'maka v'aretia sha'aleh, v'sraf ha'yavesh. It goes on and on. Tangled chest hairs on a man, obviously, or beard hair, Viter, a man, right? We're not talking about like circus performers. So tangled chest hairs or tangled beard hairs on a man, tangled pubic hair, crusting around the eye, treatments of wounds, dry sap
dirt crusted on the body, dough under the fingernails, mud, potter's clay, all of these things that the Mishnayos identify as being chatzitza. So it seems very, very clear that on the list of things that are chatzitza are bandages on a wound. And that happens all the time, right? Someone has a woman has stitches, right? So sometimes the stitches themselves, we'll have to see, might not be a chatzitza. But the bandage that covers the stitches is vaday going to be a chatzitza, right? Certainly bepashtos. A band-aid, a chatzitza, right? A bandage on a wound is a definite chatzitza. So there's a question whether the Tosefta addresses this point. The Beis Yosef quotes a Tosefta that says, V'sha'omru chotzim, shamrein chotzim, lo mitamin v'lo mitamin, chutz mikrum sha'al gabe hamaka, v'eged sha'al gabe hamaka, v'akaskasim sha'al gabe ha'shever, v'ashirim v'anazamim v'akatlos v'ataboos, the utzim chotzim rafin ein chotzim. So Sefta talks about bandages, and it talks about jewelry. And it says that loose-fitting jewelry is not a chatzitza, but it's not very clear whether the part about the bandages is about transmitting tumor or is about chatzitza. I mean, when the Tosefta, the Beis Yosef quotes this Tosefta over here, so it certainly talks about chatzitza with regard to jewelry, and it definitely talks about bandages, but bandages may be about metamin and mitamin, and may not be about chatzitza. So the Rambam, in the second paragraph of Vos Halacha Dalin, already starting from Eged Shal Gabe Maka, says that, you know, from in that list in the Tosefta, when it already starts talking about bandages on the wound, the Rambam learns that that's about Chatzitza. So Beis Yosef seems to point out that that's the Shita Sator as well, because he lists the different items in the Tosefta in a different order than the Tosefta listed them. So why would he list them in a different order than the Tosefta listed them? Must be the order, it doesn't really matter. Meaning, the whole suffix Beis Yosef has is, maybe the Tosefta started a list about Tumah, and then at some point shifted to discuss Chatzitza. The Rambam says it's all about Chatzitza, and the Tor lists it in a different order, which seems to assume that the order doesn't really matter because it's all about Chatzitza. So the Rash, in his commentary on the Mishnayos, says that the stuff about bandages is not about Chatzitza. That's only about transmitting Tumah. So Tosefta doesn't really talk about whether bandages are Chatzitza. So Beis Yosef points out that that's the Rash Mishans. The Rush must have held this way also, because he only talks about jewelry being chatzitza, and he leaves out bandages from the discussion. And the same for the Rashba. The Tor must not have seen the Rash Mishans, so he didn't know to read into the omissions of the Rush and the Rashba. Meaning, even though the Tor obviously had a Rush, it was his father, and the Tor had a Rashba, he quotes it every page, and the Rush and the Rashba leave certain things off of their list of chatzitzos. Meaning there's a whole list in the Tosefta. The Rashi, the Rashba only quotes some of those things on the list. They don't quote other things on the list. So why didn't the Torah know to be medayik from there that some of these items are not going to be a problem of chatzitza? It's because he never saw the Rash Mishans. This is what the Beis Yosef Tain is. Had the Torah seen the Rash Mishans, he would have known. We don't think of the Rash Mishans. I mean, how many Rash Mishanses do people learn on a typical day in yeshiva, right? Because you don't learn so many Mishnayos with the Perish HaRambam and the Perish HaRash. But the Rash Mishans was from the Gedolei Arishonim, and it says that had the Tor known about that Rash Mishans, then for sure he would have realized that the Shitas HaRashba, the Shitas HaRash, is that bandages are not necessarily a chatzitza. So Beis Yosef then comments, V'yoser nachon momer, sha'afel pi sha'ra'a pirish rash, v'yoda da ha'rash va'arashba tafsu ikur kamoso, The Beis Yosef then goes on to say, you know what? It could be that the Torah saw the Rash Mishans, and the Torah still didn't think that the Rashba and the Rush were bedafka, leaving out bandages from those from the list of things that are chatzitza. Because there's no machlokas lahalacha. They're all going to be a chatzitza lahalacha. And whatever the dinim are by bandages can just be derived from the dinim of jewelry. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch and Sifka Chav Gimel, Paskins, after telling us about tight jewelry being a chatzitza, that v'chein hadin be'eged shalamaka v'kaskasim shalashever. He says the same is true with anything that's on, you know, you have a cast on a broken bone,
or a splint on a broken bone, or you have a bandage on a makkah, chatzitza, chatzitza, chatzitza. So you get this great Leibedik discussion. Historically, did the Torah see the Rash? Did he accept the Rash? It's all academic. At the end of the day, the Beis Yosef says, it's irrelevant. Everyone really holds that it's chatzitza. There's not even a machlokas whether it's chatzitza. Bandages are a chatzitza. Okay, so far that's not very helpful, because if we want to come up with some kulas for women that otherwise won't be able to go to the mikvah, we're out of luck, right? Because we thought we had a promising lead by saying that the Rosh Mishans, all held that maybe bandages aren't a chatzitza, because after all, the Tosefta wasn't so clear that bandages are a chatzitza. Two ways to learn the Tosefta. We thought we had somewhere to go with this. Maybe not. So there is a landmark tshuva. Like if you had to make your list of like the most critical tshuvas that have had an impact on the halacha in Dinei Chatzitza, which you need to know, like when you're going through Kuf Tzad Yichas, like there are certain tshuvas, like that Zichron Yosef, like there are certain tshuvas that otherwise, you got to know Igros Moshes, right? Meaning, but you wouldn't think like you would have to know Zichron Yosef, but there are a few tshuvas in Dinei Chatzitza that were very, very critical. So one such tshuva, which is kedai to look up, is the Ksav Sofer in Yeridea Simen Sadi Aleph. Ksav Sofer was asked about a woman who needed a bandage on her head for 3 months, and it couldn't be removed without extraordinary pain. And then after 3 months, it was going to fall off. It was just going to fall off on its own. I don't know the metzias of such a bandage. Maybe once the wound is healed, there would be nothing that... It was probably some sort of open wound that kept the bandage attached to the head, so it was going to be attached to her head for 3 months, and then once the wound, I guess, scabbed over or healed itself, the bandage was just going to fall off. Can the woman go to the mitzvah? So Ksav Sofer starts by opening up a Beis Yosef, Kuf Tzad Yichas, and he says that, he quotes the Beis Yosef, and after quoting the Beis Yosef, he says that maybe the reason the Rashba and the Rosh understood the Tosefta's discussion of bandages was talking about chatzitza was the svirle le rosh v'rashba to min eged v'kashkish v'maschil din chatzitza v'arabusa b'zad yesh svara lomar kivan de mishum refuahu v'kalat sarach le refuah zu nichale b'kach v'eino makbet she'ye alav da anus hu min ha-shamayim she'tzarach le refuah zu v'derach kol mi she'tzarach le refuah zu she'eino makbet b'kach. He says, there's a svara to say that if a person has a bandage on and they need that bandage, and it's for the sake of refuah, and they would be risking infection, and they wouldn't be healing without that bandage, that's called eino makbid, because it's an onus min hashamayim that they need this refuah. So basher hu sham, anyone who needs this refuah is eino makbid on that bandage, because they dafka want that bandage there. They don't want it. Not makbid means you don't want it there, right? So the dafka makbid there, it should be there. So that's called eino makbid. The hava amina dava kamiyot she'eno makbid kamash malon dechotzitz. That's why I need a chiddush in the tour, a chiddush in the Tosefta, rather than it's chotzitz. Ubeshirim v'nezavim ikar abusa hagam detachshetu la umiritzono bala mikol mokam hava chatzitza kimin delofa amim mesir b'shas lisha ubekal echad ikar abusa sheish bro ma she'in bazeh sheish bazeh ma she'in bazeh. And he says the bandage and the jewelry both need to be listed in the Torah as something, and the Tosefta rather, as something that could be chotzeitz when it's tight, because each one has a svara to say that it wouldn't be a chatzitza. So his starting point is, okay, I get it, the Tosefta and the Rishonim, and the way the Beis Yosef understands Rishonim is that bandages are a chatzitza, but let's dig a little deeper, says the Ksav Sofer. What's the chiddush of each one? So he starts by saying, the chiddush of bandages is that even though it's for refuah and you dafka want it there, and anyone who's this sick wants it there, it's still called makbid. And the chiddush of jewelry is that even though women love jewelry and they look great in jewelry and they're happy about their jewelry, it's still called makbid because they would take the jewelry off at certain times. Okay, good. Then says the Ksav Sofer. So far, no help, right? So far, bandage is still very bad, right? So Ksav Sofer then goes on and he says the Rash didn't learn the discussion to be about chatzitza because al karchach the svirle misvara dein beged chatzitza. Either he says one of two possibilities. The Rash, who learned the Tosafta differently, the Rash Mishans, who again, it could be that the Rash doesn't agree with this Rash, it could be that the Rash doesn't agree, but the Rash Mishans, who learned that bandages are not a chatzitza, it could be that he holds that svar is true, meaning the svar that we just said, that's a havamin according to Moses. Did it work out? Leak fixed? The svara that we said as a havamin according to the Rush and the Rashba might be what the Rash Mishants would say lahalacha, right? The Rash Mishants might tell you, yeah, bandages are in a chatzitza because you want the bandage to be there. Or says so maybe not. Maybe the Rash holds that their chotzeitz even when roughly, because water doesn't get past them, and that's why he says that the conversation about jewelry doesn't apply to bandages. Meaning, the Rash Mishans clearly splits the Tosefta, that the discussion of bandages is different than the discussion of jewelry. We know what the discussion of jewelry is. If it's loose, it's okay. If it's tight, it's not okay. Right? In what way does the Rash learn that bandages are different? So says Ksav Sofer, two possibilities. One possibility is that he learns that bandages are worse. That bandages are worse. That even if they're loose, they're going to be a problem. Why? Because even a loose bandage may not allow water through it. Or that bandages are better. That even when they're tight, they're not going to be a problem because it's a miyuchein amakbid. That a bandage is something that's a amakbid because it's something that you need there. Okay. Then he takes a step back to analyze why should a bandage be chatzitza? Meaning he says, the svara that I said, it's so good, right? How could it only be a havamina? Right? Meaning the svara that anyone who has that illness, anyone who has that injury, anyone who needs that bandage, you're going to tell me that's called makben? Of course it's a mak. So what's the svara? So he says, al-karach tzrichna nalomar, so now he starts, right? He says, you know why bandages are makbid? Why are rings makbid? Why are rings makbid? What does Shulchan Aruch say? Why? You take it off b'shas lisha. There are certain times that you take it off. You know why bandages are makbid? Even as you're healing, they take the bandage off to see if it's healing properly. Right, changing the dressing on the wound. Right, they'll take it off to see if it's healing properly. Maybe that's the svara that the Rashba and the Rush have, that bandages would be a chatzitza. And okay, now you see where he's going. And therefore, if you have a bandage that you never take off, and it's stuck, and it's impossible to get it off, and until it heals, and once it heals, then it falls off. Then it won't be a chatzitza. According to anybody. Then it won't be a chatzitza according to anybody. V'achre edvar me'eva, says the Ksav Sofer, Navel v'nidon shel v'neinu. D'nir l'fiyanez taiti lo'hakel mitre taimu. Says, I therefore think we could be mekel. For two reasons. Number one, the kolshu mishum refu av v'nasvam l'kom l'zman katsuv. He says anytime you need something on and you cannot remove it and it has to stay there because of refuah reasons, that's called a makbid. And he says, as opposed to, you know, the wound, your bandages where you need to change the dressing once in a while. You need to go check out what's going on under there. That's going to be a chatzitza. And Beis, he says, Kivin sheyev shal ha-hasir achshav rak al yidei ke'ev gadol meruba. V'normally ki kemat e'ef shal ha-hasir rak kishe yidbak v'yidlosh min ha-or shebimakomo. He says, I was told about this bandage. It will rip her skin off if they try to tear this bandage off. He says, I think like at a certain point, Hakpada goes in the other direction. Meaning there's makbid, there's eno makbid, and then there's being super makbid not to remove it. And he says, look, something that you're just not makbid, right? You don't really care one way or the other about, like a ring, if you ever remove it, it's going to be a chatzitza.
But something, if there's a ring that you must have there.
Well, even if you might remove it at some point. But if right now, it's not just that, it happens to be there and I don't mind. No, I must have it there. Then even if I'm going to remove it once in a while, that's going to be called Eino Makrid. That's the second svar. Then he concludes, Ulios ki mira makrid rachum redraban migzeira. B'shakl v'tara achronim b'ktas dvarim leilich b'sveiko lahakel. Lulei du ukme acheskas tuma. Hayinir li lismach al kol mash ksafti lahakel. V'nidon shalana lahalacha. He says, at the end of the day, we're dealing with Dindraban, right? Because we're dealing with a miut. So it was a gzeira midraban. So I think my svaras are good enough for a Dindraban to rely on my svaras. Aval any machlit lemaisa l'asher lo yanti be inyan rak eze sha'os leprakim. Except Sofer says, but how can I paskin? I only looked into it for a few hours here and a few hours there. This is the way Pesach used to work. It wasn't like as soon as there are blue checks, oh no, you got to answer right away, otherwise you're not Maritz. So I only looked into it a few hours here, a few hours there. So how can I really rely? Umalas chavivi neroyer yosem enov al kol mash ksafti ashev yivcha yirkrav. He says, but you, the rabbi, I'm writing to you, you're a Talmud Chacham. So look at what I wrote, and if you decide that it makes sense, so then go with it. But don't rely on me, rely on you, now that I've given you something to think about. It's an interesting meaning, because a lot of times when people get a psak, they're like, look, I don't get it, but it's a psak. And, you know, I get it. So the Ksav Sefer says, don't do that with me, because don't rely on me. He says, Acher chosim ha-michtav, kodem shalke le-bezdin, he says, after I finished the whole letter, I noticed on my bookshelf the Sefer Tshuva Me'ava. Tshuva Me'ava was who? Tshuva Me'ava was... Yeah, who's the Talmud of? Nadbi Yehuda. So he's quoted in the Pesach Tshuva all the time. He says, I found Tshuva Me'ava, who writes, Neshalti, those who hear Shem Tzir, Arrofim, Shetzarach Lios, Al-Gabi Arba, O'Shlo, Shechadosh, Mertzufim. Tshuva Me'ava has a case of a bandage that needs to be on for 3 or 4 months. V'achar kach nofels me'atzma. Aval b'toch hazman hazeh, Iyev shor b'shum ofim nahasim misham, kiim b'kriya or u'basar ima. Mam is my case, says the Ksav Sofer. V'isho mer shekvar regila b'ritziya zuveinu makpedes klav. And the woman says, this is just her now. It's like the bandage is part of her. She's used to it. It doesn't bother her at all anymore. Didn't agree with the Ksav Sofer's conclusion. Lios ki kvar hori zukeinu meilu zatzal lahachmir b'dinu shalom mamish hagam sheinu tan yidiya al ma adneihem hitbiyu v'taymim nimukom lo nizgalu lanu v'kol zos chasli lahakal bara shechmir b'agoni kamay b'dor shal v'nein kadoshim asher ba'eretz hachayim heima. It's unbelievable, right? The bittul, the reverence, right? The Ksav Sofer says, I had a whole tshuva, I worked a few hours here, a few hours there. I thought it was good, but the Tshuva Me'ava already paskind, and he quotes an Or Chadash, who also already paskind, Luchumra. How can I be Mekel? Even though I don't understand their Svara. V'yadi mesulekes v'lahoros lahakel v'ashem yatzilenu mishkios v'yoreinu mitarasu neflaus k'yurfos yatzilenu, etc., etc. He does not say how. Okay. So where does that leave us? Let's say you have something like this. You have a bandage that needs to stay there for 3 months, right? A cast or something like that needs to stay there. Let's say you can get a cast wet, but it needs to stay there for 3 months and you can't remove it. So Rav Aaron Felder said that Rav Moshe was makel if you leave it for 3 months without removing it. Where does he get 3 months from? He's obviously relying on the Ksav Sofer. Rabbi Simon quotes that Rav Abadi was makel based on a comment of the Mishnah Achrona in Mikvaos. Mishnah Achrona, who's one of the commentaries on the side of the Yochum Boaz Mishnayos, says that their bandages had medicinal ointment on them, and they would come off when you went into the water. So So they were not makbe not to go into the water with it. With it. But if we have a bandage that can get wet, then there's makom lahakel. Hard to rely on that. Meaning, Mishnah Achron is touching up what the case of the Mishnah is meant. It's very hard to rely on that. Chuvah Simra Yosher quotes the Chuvah Simra Sham that if a woman can't get water in her ears, then putting cotton in is also considered eno makbid because she dafka wants it there. Meaning, what the Simra Yosher comes back to is the other svara of the Ksav Sofer. The other svara of the Ksav Sofer is not that right now it's eno makbid, it's that when you're dafka makbid that something should be there, that turns it into eno makbid even though you're going to want it gone at a certain point. The other svara to work with when it comes to bandages is the svara that the Gemara uses. We're not going to get through this whole conversation right now, but the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches, we quoted already, Nachris Me'uberes, right? Let's say you have a pregnant non-Jewish woman, Shenizgaira, that is Megayir, but not in Tzarech Tevila. So when the child is born, the child is not going to need Tevila. Why is B'nai in Tzarech Tevila? B'chi, Tein Mishun Rabbi Yitzvah, Tam Rabbi Yitzvah, Tzarech Tav Ruba, Makvila, L'Chotzeitz, Ruba, Shein Makvila, Veinu Chotzeitz, Ram Rakan L'Shon, Ruba, V'kula Chotzeitz. I even tell me the reason the B'nai is in Tzarech Tevila is on a Daraisa level, because the mother's not a Chatzitza for the Ben, because the Ben is Eino Makbid about the mother. He says that only works if it's Ruba, but Kulo is always going to be a Chatzitza. So it says, Mar, Shaini Uber de Hainu Rabise. So the Gemara introduces this concept of Hainu Rabise, that when something is the normal way of growth, then it's not a Chatzitza. So the Ksav Sofer, that same Ksav Sofer, and all the other posts from Kodem Mordechai, that says, Da Osam Nashim Shiesh Lehem Volakshtrash Visa'arot Shanasam Kalilas Machlas Shade Visakanas Nefashos Legalcha Dolo Chaitzi. What's he talking about? Like some sort of, they used to have some sort of braid in their hairs to ward off demons and, you know, shade them and whatever, and it was a sakana to be megaleach. So the Mordechai writes, Nal chatzitza. The metzias of shade them and whatever is irrelevant, right? I mean, the point is, we're talking about hakpada over here, right? So if the woman believed that, you know, sometimes, like, what's on the books is on the books, right? Meaning, whether there are Shadim, there aren't Shadim, you like Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's piece about Shadim and the Rambam, or whatever, okay, whatever your attitude is, it's irrelevant. What our attitude isn't relevant, their attitude is relevant. We're trying to learn Dina Chatzitza. I got an email from a guy yesterday. He was all angry about the Super Bowl shmooze that I gave him Thursday. He said, how could you say that watching the Super Bowl is a waste of time? You do it every year. The guy said, yeah. and he said, I normally I enjoy your shiurim, except for that shiur where you said that thing about not shechting geese in Chodesh, Teves, and Shvat, because that has no place in Judaism. Okay, but the Ramah thought it had a place in Judaism, you know, like the Ramah said it. So it was funny. So I was sitting learning with Rabbi Shai Shechter, and then after lunch, we took a lunch break, like we're supposed to. It was on the schedule. We were allowed to. Came back after lunch. He said, "Can you check your email, see if you ever got emails from a guy by the name of?" And he says the name. I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "I just got the craziest angry email from this guy." And I'm like, "Oh, I just got one during lunchtime also." Apparently that guy spent his day just firing off angry emails to all the rabbis he doesn't like. So that was fun. whenever we get like angry emails, we always check with like the chevra. You're like, you know, this guy is like, yeah, he sends me angry emails all the time. Ignore him. Okay, you know, like there's like a certain min, a sug of anoshim that, you know, whatever. But that's what they do with their time. Why did I say that? What? Shadim, okay, right, because of the shechting geese and teves remind me of the Shadim. Okay, so the Mordechai has this comment about, about the women who have this thing in their hair because of Shadim, and he gives three reasons why it's not a chatzitza, one of which is Hainu Rabise. The other two are, the Kivim de Mahat Kituva Zebezeh, Havi Kabalua, based on storm blomitami, if you mean blomitami lo chaitzi, that it, maybe it has a din of balua, if it's really, you know, dreadlock is really tight. And also the kaimelon shlosha nim kshuros and chotzos, it's so many hairs together, so maybe that's the reason it's not a chatzitza. But the Raman Sifaf quotes this la halacha. Both sensation come in klios arus tivukos vukos shade the sakanul asirum lo chaitzi. That it's not a chatzitza. So we're going to have to like get into that a little bit. Like, why is that not a chatzitza? Yeah.
That seems different than the case of the kanan in the ear. This would never be mak. You would dafka mak to keep tie because you're afraid of changing whether you're in the mikvah or not. It's very difficult to say that a makvid not to remove cotton balls from my ears when I'm told in the mikvah because I don't want water to get in there. The figures in the Torah in the beginning of the sinan that says if you're not makvid on something right now during tefillah, you're like, oh, I'm not makvid right now. I'm going into the mikvah. I don't want to be makvid. But generally, you are. It would be a problem. It should be true in this other direction.
Yeah. So here, I'm going to give you some homework, okay? Two things to look at. Number one is the Sidre Tara, and the Shire Tara, Sivkat Nyotes and the Shire Tara. And the second thing is in the Tziv, in the Meshav Davar, Chelik Beis Simen Lam Vav, who disagrees with that Shire Tara. And we'll see if there's any room to negotiate over here. All right? So those are the two things to look at. Tomorrow, Rabbi Sablovsky, I think we're on with Rabbi Sablovsky. Do we have questions for him? Do we have? We got to make up some. All right, we'll have to come up with some questions. Try to think of questions. Send them to Matthew. Matthew, do we have any? Not so many. Any from like old Q and A's over here?
Push back.
Yeah, how's the headlines?
I got a text from Rabbi Josh Flug. Saying, what information can you give me about the KY jelly and changing the color of it? Rabbi Sablovsky called me and he told me I have to work on this. I have to figure out the mitzvahs. So, because Rabbi Josh, I don't know if you know Rabbi Josh Flug, he's like very good at that. Like, he was the one that like, he did all these experiments when they found bugs in the water in New York City. He was the one that convinced all of our Rashi Yeshiva one way or the other, you know, like doing experiments with garden hoses and undershirts over the hose and finding the bugs. Like, he's like, this is what he does. So he's great with that. So he's going to be doing the experiments. I told him you got to do the experiments with the moist bedik cloth. He's like, how the heck am I supposed to do that? Because he was saying, he's like, collect some bedik cloths. I'm going to be in New York in a week, and we'll smear all different kinds of lubricant all over, and we'll see what happens. So I said, no, you need moist bedik cloths to get a real sense of it. He's like, let's start with this. You know, I'm not going to like. Okay. Anyway. So we'll come up with questions from Rabbi Sablovsky.
Rabbi, where is that?